Good morning and welcome to our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie. It is a pleasure to be here to just spend this time of the day with you. For some of you here on the West Coast, it's in the morning drive time. It's a time for us that are getting up. Still, some of you are dropping the kids off to school. I know it's just the last couple of days for some. Graduations have already been going on, but for few, it may have a few more days left in the school season, and you've got Catholic Radio in the car as you're traveling about. Want to greet those of you who are listening across the country and literally around the globe. I am always so amazed. I know that my Indian listeners are going to be growing as soon as Colin gets back home. We had Colin here about a week ago from Bangalore, India, and I know when he goes back, he's going to let folks know about Catholic Radio. But if you are tuned in to KBVM.FM and listening on our streaming, welcome, and it's nice to have you with us, especially those of you who are in Houston, Texas today, because that's where our guest is currently at, and we are just grateful to have an opportunity to take this medium not only where we physically are located, which is in the Portland, Vancouver, Salem, Eugene, Springfield areas of Oregon and Southwest Washington, but to take the message of the gospel throughout the whole world and to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's our purpose for today's program. I want to begin by these words that are inspired by the Psalms, Psalm 27 and 26. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When those who do evil draw near, they stumble and fall. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we, who call on you in our need, may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance do it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we do take our broadcast to Houston, Texas, and to the home of the Passionist Priests. For the last couple of years now, we've had a really blessed relationship with Father Cedric Bisseña, and we have actually some of his local team that he met up with in Chico, California many years ago live here in our local area, and they help Father really producing television programs, DVDs, CDs, the beautiful books that have been coming out. In fact, a newest one that we're going to be talking about today. Father is the voice and the host behind Live with Passion. It's shown on different television stations, but we have it here through Catholic Radio, and we are just so excited to have the program here on a weekly basis to really reach out and to touch people and to share with them the power of the Holy Spirit to really share the message of Jesus Christ, that He loves each and every one of us. Father Cedric has some time for us today. I'm really grateful that we can, because he's going to be releasing very soon a new book, and I have one of very few copies that are available right now, but very soon tons of copies are going to be available, and the front cover is gorgeous. I'm a fan of the beach. If I could be anywhere, it would be at the beach. Rise, Living the Risen Life, and it's this beautiful seascape that you see along with Father Cedric. Father Cedric, good morning and welcome back to the broadcast, and Easter blessings to you.
Well, good morning, Dina Marie, and good morning to everybody listening by radio, by internet, and a great big welcome to everybody. And I want to wish you a happy birthday, Dina Marie. I know your birthday is coming up on Wednesday.
And to you, Father, and to you. I love it that we celebrate the same birthday. Not exactly the same year, but it's a wonderful time to celebrate.
Well, June babies are special.
My mom says that every day. June babies That's are special.
Right. So. Actually, I found out that June 12th was Children's Day. You know, they have a Mother's Day, a Father's Day, and at least according to Hallmark cards, June 12th is Children's Day. So we were born on Children's Day.
I feel better already. All right. Those gray hairs are going to good work. Well, we have a lot of wonderful things to share. And number one is we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. How awesome is that in the media that we can share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Give us a little sense, Father, for some people who haven't yet met you through the television or through the radio or internet, a little bit about your call to the priesthood. What contributed, do you feel, to your yes to Christ, to the priesthood, and to the Passionist community?
Well, I think it was back when I was in college. I was probably 18 years old and felt a deep emptiness in my heart. I had born and brought up Catholic. I was born and brought up Catholic, but really not attending. And that emptiness, that craving, that hunger for something more led me really to God and to an experience with the Holy Spirit that revolutionized and changed my life and still continues to change my life. And from then I discerned a call to the priesthood, and I was ordained a priest back in 1991, so it's been about 22 years now. And God has called me to proclaim the gospel through preaching and now through radio and TV. I've been on TV about 7 years now, radio about 6 years, and reaching out with the gospel really all around the country. And now through the Church Channel, which is Trinity Broadcasting Network, I'm reaching out around the world with the gospel. I get emails, as you were saying, from India and Saudi Arabia and Australia and all these different places. And that's not to boast. It's just simply to say that it's such a privilege, as you say, to reach out via media with the gospel, to touch people's lives, to bring them to a closer relationship with Jesus, and to help people in their day-by-day life to live with passion. So I'm thrilled to be doing what I do, and it's just such a privilege. You know, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, our former Holy Father, called for this new evangelization, and we're in the midst of it now during this year of faith. And media is so much a part of this new evangelization. So that's why, you know, what you're doing at KVBM is such a wonderful thing, Dina. And thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have Father with us. I want to just point out on our website, you can get a hold of Father Cedric on his website, which is frcedric.org. And I've been looking. There's some different podcasts, all sorts of multimedia available, kind of a welcome video that you can watch right when you get onto the website. And then the materials that we're going to be talking about, like the new book, Rise, Living the Risen Life, all of that is going to be found online at frcedric.org. And we've got that right here on our website. Share a little bit, Father, about the Passionist community and the charism that you have as a community to really go out into the parishes to do mission work, to be able to bring the message of Jesus Christ out to various communities. Can you talk a little bit about how your community, the Passionist, really lives out its mission of sharing the passion of Christ?
Yes, we are a community that was founded in the 1700s in Italy by St. Paul of the Cross. And we gather in community, and we pray, we live community, and then we go out and we preach. And we preach the gospel, and we have retreat centers around the country. But primarily, we missionaries go into various parishes, and we preach a retreat for the whole parish. This is called a mission. For example, I'll come into a parish in Portland on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, and I'll preach at all the weekend masses. And I'll invite people to come back Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, morning and evening. And I'll present different themes of prayer and the relationship with Jesus and the meaning of life and the Holy Spirit. And I'll present these talks for people to be renewed. And through TV and radio, I reach out not just in the Catholic Church, but to all people everywhere, everybody that just happens upon my program, and many people do. And I'm happy to say that I'm also reaching into prisons. So we have a prison ministry now of pen pals where friends of mine, people that want to, will actually become a pen pal with a person in prison. It's very anonymous. But what happens is the people in prison that see my programs write me, and then we write them back and we assign a person to them to help counsel them, to help them in their relationship with Jesus. So it's basically the Passionists are all about reaching out to people with the gospel. We have retreat centers that people come to, for example, in Sacramento, Los Angeles, here in Houston, Detroit, New York, Florida, many different places people can come to retreat. And we go out to them by preaching in the parishes, by writing books, by media, and by reaching into prison. So we have many different types of ministry, all designed to share the gospel and to really help people in their daily life. Besides helping people to know Jesus in a personal way, I really enthusiastically try to help people to live with passion, to realize their potential, to develop their life the best they can, to live their marriages well, and to live the vocation that God has called them to. So it's very practical, very spiritual. And I do this through preaching, through writing, and through media.
And it continues to grow. It's amazing. Before we got on the air, we were talking about Facebook, and you posted something on your Facebook page. I just posted something about an hour ago saying, looking forward to having Father Cedric on the show. There's increasingly different ways for us to reach out and to share a message, but also the need to bring about community, because sometimes this technology could maybe isolate us more. How do you see that we can build community through these different types of social media, through using technology? Can we build people to come closer together?
Yes, I think so. For example, on my Facebook page, I have a number of people who visit it every day, and some people make comments. And so although, you know, you're in your home and alone, in a way you've joined a community through internet, which is very important. And, you know, I treasure those people, and many of those people have become pen pals with people in prison. Mm-hmm. So they're reaching out just through a social media site. They end up taking on a ministry. And I treasure those folks. I love to hear from them, and many of them are listening right now. And then I think about TV or radio. I actually get messages from these people, emails from these people, that they've come back to church because of my programs or because of the radio programs. I'm sure you've heard that too, Dina Marie. That people will actually go from isolation back to community because of something that they hear on the radio or something that they see on TV. So God is using these things to reach into places that we really couldn't go even 20 years ago. Yeah. And now we're going into homes and into prisons and into nursing homes and into hospitals in ways that we couldn't before. I call it a church without walls. Mm-hmm. There are no walls in the church anymore. I mean, through media, through radio, through TV, through books, we're just reaching out in many varied ways. And people are coming back. Rather than staying isolated, they're realizing, and this is one of the things I say in my new book, that it's not God's will to be isolated, but it is God's will that we be participants as part of a community. And this is something that I realized early on when the Lord touched me when I was 18 years old. I was very isolated. You know, it was an anonymous Catholicism. You know, I went to this big church. Nobody knew anybody. And I really didn't want to be a part of it. And I realized that, you know, some people don't want to talk about religion and they don't want to talk about politics, but especially religion. And they just, you know, I believe the way I believe and that's the way it is. Well, I realized that that's kind of a false assumption and a false philosophy that, you know, humble people will open themselves up to a participation in a community, being a part of something bigger than yourself. And I humbled myself and I joined a community, and I was afraid because I never wanted to be part of something militaristic or something, you know, I'm very independent. I didn't want to have to be obedient. But I found out that, you know, you have to be humble. That's part of following Jesus, denying yourself and being a part of a community. And I must say that community has allowed me actually to reach out even more than I ever would if I was alone. And there's power in community. I mean, like minds, you know, together just adds to the power. So in answer to your question, I think social media, TV, media itself is taking people from isolation and bringing them into greater community if they really heed the words of Jesus.
Yeah, I think it is so important. Father Cedric with us. He is out in Houston, Texas with the Community of the Passionists. They operate a retreat house there in Houston, but also all across the country and literally around the globe. There are different areas that are operated by the Passionists, and they continue to do parish missions. I'd encourage to let people know that if you are planning something for the fall, maybe you're looking at different activities for your own local parish, your church community, consider having the Passionists come out and do a parish mission for you. This is a great opportunity to really bring the word of God and really just let it get lit up in your whole community. And Father Cedric would be happy to come on out and to share with your community. So get a hold of him at fathercedric.org. Let's talk a little bit about the book, because that's one form of media that everybody is familiar with because we've had the written word for so long. The, I think, 17th book in the series so far is Rise, Living the Risen Life. Tell us a little bit about what contributed to putting this particular book, the focus, the topic, really what you wanted to share with this book, Rise.
Well, I was, this is my 17th book that's coming out now, and, you know, I have a bookstore at fathercedric.org. You can see what I have. And the money from the books fund my TV and radio program. So, you know, I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. I don't really keep the royalties to these books. It's all channeled back into ministry. But I was sitting, visiting my mother in Florida a year ago on Easter, and I was sitting at the beach. It was Easter morning, and I was watching the sunrise. I had went to the vigil mass the night before. So as I was sitting there, I realized that, you know, at that moment, millions and millions of people all across the country were going to mass and celebrating Easter. And as I was sitting there, you know, it was a very tranquil moment, very quiet, very beautiful, just watching the ocean. There were very few people on the beach. And it was Easter morning. I mean, what better place to be? And as I was sitting there watching the sunrise, all of a sudden I had this insight deep within. Cedric, you believe in the resurrection, but do you believe that you can experience the resurrection now? And that's what I heard deep in my heart. And I said, yes, Lord, I believe that I can experience the resurrection. And I realized that, for example, sometimes in my attitude, I can be negative and say, oh, I can't do it, or give in to self-pity. And experiencing the resurrection means that you can say in your heart, you know what, I can do this. And I don't have to give in to self-pity. I can get up and accomplish things. Or you can have negative thoughts and be real cynical about people. And instead of being judgmental, you can be kind in your thoughts. And you can see the best in people. That's resurrection. Or you can feel like you're kind of lackluster in your energy and kind of, lukewarm and putting things off, you know, and procrastinating. And instead of being that way, you can live with passion, and you can have energy, and you can be strong, and you can accomplish things. And then in your emotions, you know, we all experience fear, for example, anxiety, anger. You know, these are common emotions. Instead of giving into those emotions, resurrection means that you face your fears, that you admit your anger, and that you can be confident and you can go forward. And then in your moral life, for example, you can give into sin in many different ways and, you know, be kind of lukewarm, as I was saying. And instead of being that way, resurrection means that you live with integrity, live with excellence. In your spiritual life, for example, you know, you can kind of go through the motions with your prayer and then at Mass and, you know, not really be giving anything much to God. And instead of that, you can live the resurrected life by spending time reading, by really sowing into your spiritual life much more, by living a life of praise and worship. So what I'm saying is that living the resurrected life isn't for when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the insight that I got as I was sitting there. And I have had that insight before. In fact, I even recorded a series many years ago about living the risen life. But it was hitting me again as I was sitting there that Easter morning. Of course, I believe in the resurrection. We all believe, most people believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But few people believe that you can experience the resurrection in every area of your life. Now, I've talked about attitude, mm-hmm. I've talked about thoughts, I've talked about achieving your potential, I've talked about emotions, I've talked about your moral life, I've talked about your spiritual life, and the only thing I've left out is your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can experience resurrection even in your health through the risen life. Now, just to let you know, this is not something that I just drummed up as I was sitting there that Easter morning. This is very much Orthodox teaching that comes right from the Bible and right from our catechism. For example, if you look at our catechism, it's number 1002 and 1003. It says that basically what the church fathers are saying is that by virtue of the Holy Spirit, we already now on earth have a participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then they quote Romans. And that, you know, we are going to rise again on the last day, but already now we can experience the heavenly life because our life is hidden with Christ in God. And, you know, we all have that phrase, that saying, we all know this so well, that we have been baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's a great theological statement, but what does that mean? Well, it means that we can experience the resurrection of Jesus even now in our thoughts, in our minds, in our professional life, in our vocations, in our spiritual life, in our moral life. So, you know, I'm preaching a sermon here. I'm telling you a lot of things at once. But I want you to know that the resurrection isn't just when you die, as great as that is.
Mm-hmm.
It already bleeds into right now so that we can be literally resurrected, have a new energy, have a new dynamism, have a new anointing, and that's all accomplished by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful. Rise, living the risen life. And I think about Father Cedric, liturgically, as we've had such a powerful Easter season, and then it's power-packed with the Holy Trinity Feast, the Feast of Corpus Christi. We just celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I mean, these power-packed liturgies, opportunities for us to grow deeper. But we're also sent off into this ordinary time, this time that's structured, that's ordered, this resurrection time, time that we're supposed to live it out. Can you tie a little bit liturgically, as the church moves through her seasons, how we carry what we believe into how we live every day? That if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we need to live that out today, not for way down into the future, but have the hope for the future. But it should change us today.
That's right. That's called the Paschal Mystery, where we die with Christ and we rise with Christ. And one of the reasons why we have a 50-day season of Easter, which just culminated in Pentecost 4 weeks ago, is because the church wants us to spend 50 days soaking in the mystery and the mystery of the resurrection. So that means, as you say, practically, to be able to live this resurrection life every day. And that not only to believe that it's true, of course we believe it's true, that Jesus is risen, but to experience the resurrection in all these different areas of our life. And then now we're in ordinary time, as you say, and that's when we concentrate on the life and teachings of Jesus. Well, let's just look at yesterday's scripture from Sunday's gospel and Sunday's first reading. It was about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Jesus raised up the widow's son of Nain. I've been to Nain in Galilee, in the Holy Land, and it's a wonderful place. It's a tribute to the resurrection, because Jesus has power to raise people from the dead even now. And then the first reading had to do with a resurrection of a widow's son by Elijah also. And I say resurrection, I mean more of a resuscitation, mm-hmm. because those people that were raised died again, just like Lazarus did. And when I talk about resurrection, that will be the final resurrection. But it's this raising to new life that Christ brings in every element of our being. So liturgically, when we go to Eucharist, when we celebrate Eucharist, when we praise God, when we sing, when we receive communion, when we intercede, we're looking for this new dynamism, this continued dynamism from God in the Holy Spirit that will help us to become really excellent people, to live quality moral lives, to have a good attitude, to think positive thoughts, to be a loving person, not just concentrating on ourselves, but reaching out beyond ourselves to other people. And that's what it means to follow Christ. During ordinary time is a time that it's not ordinary or bland, it's ordered time. Our steps are ordered by God, where we follow Christ, we listen to his teachings. Today we have the Beatitudes. What powerful, hard to follow, mm-hmm. amazing teachings we have from Jesus. So we need power to be able to follow those teachings. So it really resurrection spills into every area of our life, all the areas of our life. And you can concentrate on these areas and ask God to raise us up. And again, that all happens really through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit. With prayer, with the sacraments, in community, and in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the number one connection.
You are covering all the bases. Yeah. I appreciate that, Dana Marie. Yeah, that's right.
When you were really responding to that prompting by the Holy Spirit, as you look at that beautiful, sunrise, to put this book together, and you've got it broken up into 5 different chapters, and what I love in your books is you just tie everything so deeply into Scripture, and you bring out Scripture verses. I mean, people can just sit with their book and their Bible to kind of really get deep into what God's Holy Word has to say to us. Tell us a little bit about how you wanted to structure this book, kind of the conversation that you share, because it's almost like you're preaching to us. You're having a conversation in the book. I mean, I feel like you're kind of there with me as I'm reading the book. It's in that type of a personal connection.
Yeah, thanks for noticing that, Dina Marie. Actually, there's 8 chapters in the book, but I think I begin by trying to convince people that they can really experience the resurrection now. That, again, we all have that insight, okay, Jesus is risen, Easter has come, I believe in the resurrection. You know, we say it in the creed. And you know, but many people don't know that they can experience the resurrection now. So I spend the first couple of chapters trying to convince people that they can live a new life in Christ. And that's shown on my kind of my first page where I quote Romans 6, which is proclaimed at the Easter Vigil. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You know, we read that and we go, okay, oh yeah, that sounds good, but what does that mean? And I've just delineated in many different ways, attitude, thought, energy, creativity, passion, emotions, moral life, spiritual life. So that's the newness of life that we're talking about. So I start there. I want to try to convince people that you can experience the resurrection. And once you do, it revolutionizes your life. It's through participation in the sacraments, through community, through reading the Bible, through, you know, spiritual things, and through the Holy Spirit. So I spend a lot of time going from there, concentrating on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our life to bring us this new life. The Holy Spirit, of course, God Himself, breathed into our hearts. The culmination of the Easter season, the 50 days of Easter, was Pentecost. So, you know, we conclude with the cherry on top, the resurrection for us. And just to let you know, this is all very scriptural, as you say. Mm-hmm. For example, the Gospel of John, and I bring this out in the book, John is a very different gospel than Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Those are called the synoptics, which means to see together. But John is a numbered gospel. It's very different than the synoptics. And in the Gospel of John, we'll hear Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life. And the judgment is now. So what scholars are telling us about this is Jesus is bringing the resurrection right into the present. And He is the resurrection at the end of time, but He's the resurrection now. And that's something that we have to believe. This is something called a realized eschatology. Eschatology has to do with the end times, judgment, heaven and hell, the second coming of Jesus, and the resurrection. A realized eschatology tells us that in the Gospel of John, the judgment is now by our decision, that the second coming has occurred now through the Holy Spirit, and that resurrection occurs now in Jesus, and that we can experience all this. So it's a both and. It's not an either or. You know, there still will be a second coming, but it has occurred in some way through the paraclete, through the Holy Spirit in John. The judgment will occur at the end of time, but it's occurred in our decision, John 3 tells us. And then the resurrection will occur at the end of time, but also now Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, the one who believes in me, will never die. So there's a new power that Jesus brings. So I spend a lot of time on that. I talk about how I like the part of the book where I bring out how we can rise from our ashes. For example, the mythological bird, the phoenix, for example. It's interesting about the phoenix. You know, we've all heard of Phoenix, the city of Phoenix. But the mythological bird lived for a long time, and then what happens is it actually dies in a fire and becomes ashes and rises from its own ashes. And that's the whole mystery of the phoenix. And what I love about that story is that oftentimes, you know, we go through sufferings, relationship breakups, dreams that don't come to be, all kinds of disappointments and heartaches and brokenness and pain and suffering. And we can actually, those ashes of our life can actually be the stuff from which we rise to new life. Mm. So one of the places that we can experience resurrection is in our sufferings and our tragedies and our brokenness. And I know from my own experience that God brought conversion to me through through some of the emptiness and the pain that I was going through when I was 18 years old. So God knows how to make all things work for good for those who love Him.
Yes.
And I think about right now, here's something contemporary that I put into the book. This Freedom Tower that's being built right over 9/11, you know, the tragedy of the World Trade Centers and the ashes of the World Trade Center. Out of those ashes has risen a new building, the tallest one in the Western Hemisphere, 1,776 feet when they just put the spire on it a couple weeks ago. And they say that some of the construction workers actually cried as they were building that building because it was such a symbol of rising from the ashes, mm-hmm. and victory in the midst of defeat. So I spend a lot of time talking about that and trying to help readers see that even though they may be going through something difficult in their life, whatever those ashes are, that is probably a place that you can rise. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I said was, on Wednesday, people come out of the woodwork. You know, they want to receive ashes. And why is that? Because we instinctively know that ashes are something we're all familiar with. Brokenness, hurt, burning, pain, trials, tragedies. And that somehow, some way, God is going to raise us from these ashes. So that's where I start, and all that. Did you want to say anything, Dina Maria? I said a lot right there.
Well, and I think you touched on something I wanted to really have you emphasize was, I think everybody has and will continue to experience those sufferings, those trials, those obstacles that we're just kind of wondering, why is this going on? But those difficulties are what will fuel us, because the Holy Spirit will work through us when we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit and really staying in connection with God. If we start to blame, I think that's where we have some struggles in staying in the suffering versus really lifting up the suffering to Christ. And it sounds like your book is going to provide a sense of hope, that there is hope through that suffering that we all are going to encounter, and in fact many times in our lives.
Yes, it's resurrection is all about hope, and hope is all about resurrection. But you're talking about people of faith encountering rising through the sufferings and the trials, but I also want to go beyond that to say that this is how people come into the 12-step program, through their bottoming out. This is how people in prison come in to encounter Christ, through their bottoming out. Through the stuff, the ashes of life, God has a way of bringing redemption. God has a way of bringing resurrection. Through the brokenness of the cross, who would have ever thought that? God brought something amazingly good, which is resurrection, redemption, salvation. So maybe there's somebody listening right now, you're just going through a hard time and you don't understand what's going on. There's ashes going on in your life right now. And I want you to think about that image of the phoenix who actually rises from those ashes. The new freedom tower, the new liberty tower that's being built in New York, rise as a testament that we are a people of liberty. We are a people of an indomitable spirit. We are a resurrection people, and Alleluia is our song. And don't you ever give up, because God is there. Whether you're a believer or not, God is still there for you, and He'll take your doubts, your brokenness, your pain, your suffering, and He will bring resurrection if you just simply give Him a chance.
Amen. Amen to that. Father Cedric with us. He is out at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston, Texas. We're here in Portland, Oregon. His website is frcedric.org. The book Rise, Living the Risen Life is going to be available there online, as the other 16 books that have already been published and printed. Our thanks to Janice and Jim, who I know have been with you for such a long time, since your time in Chico, California, meeting up with the Carltons. They live in our neighborhood now, so we're blessed to have them and to know a little bit more about your ministry because of their work in evangelization, getting the books out, getting the DVDs out, getting the CDs out, and all of that is available online. I want to transition a little bit more into the use of media and evangelization. One of the episodes of Live with Passion we just aired, Father, talked about the early days of your series, Live with Passion, and that was just about 7 years ago. Share a little bit about that transition from... And you're still doing the parish missions. You're still out there speaking to groups and to people throughout the whole world, but also having this availability to be on television and now on radio stations. I mean, this is a way to really touch all sorts of people that you would have never been able to reach before. As you said, prison ministry. I mean, people who may not be able to get out to a parish mission could catch you on the church channel. This is incredible.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. It's such an honor. It's, I've worked hard, but I have to say that I'm humbled because God has allowed me to do this, and, it's a great responsibility. It's a lot of work, but I think it's the message, really. It's not so much me. I preach the truth. I preach orthodoxy. I think everybody would say that about their own life, but, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, you read my books, listen to my teaching. You'll see that what I say isn't just some philosophy. It's really biblical. know, I've been well-educated, I've traveled, I've been informed, I've been out there, I've experienced life. So, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm just simply saying that God is allowing me to do this because of the truth of the message and getting it out to people, and people's lives are being touched. So, you know, it's a wonderful season of harvest in my life, but I'm continuing to reach out even more. And just for your viewer, your listeners, the Church Channel is Trinity Broadcasting Network. It's their sister channel. And it's on Dish, Direct, AT&T, some antenna. In fact, in the Portland area, if you just have a digital antenna, you can get the Church Channel. And it will air Saturday nights at 6 p.m., Sunday nights at 11 p.m. on the Church Channel, and Thursday mornings at 7:30 in the morning, and I believe 4 p.m. So there's four times a week it airs on the Church Channel. And Trinity Broadcasting Network, although it's a Protestant network, they broadcast Fulton Sheen's programs, myself, and one other Catholic priest, so they allow some Catholics to be on there. So they are ecumenical.
Yeah.
But they have worked hard, much like EWTN, they have worked hard at getting broadcasts all around the world. And they're very evangelical. They're very gospel-oriented. And so they've allowed me to be on. Of course, I have to pay for this, but they've allowed me to broadcast. So you're right. It's going into all kinds of different places. And it's the thrill of my life to do this because, you know, any priest wants to reach out to as many people as they possibly can in as deep a way as possible with the gospel. And, you know, for years I had no such ministry. I preach, I travel, and came to the Portland area often. But nothing like this. I mean, it's just, that's why I keep producing and trying to do the best I can. I continue to reach out to people. And this is, as I said, something that our Pope Francis is advocating. Pope Benedict, when he was Pope, you know, the new evangelization, Pope John Paul II really was the one who started this. New evangelization means, and I put this in the final chapter of my book, it's called Rise and Shine, of my book Rise. The new evangelization has to do with the renewal of church members itself, as well as reaching out beyond the walls of the church to all people with this great gospel message, of course, of eternal life, a personal relationship with Jesus, and being filled with joy in the Holy Spirit.
It's so powerful, and the new evangelization is now. It's here, and we can participate in the new evangelization. In fact, this isn't really a choice for us as baptized Christians, Father. It sounds like we all are really have a responsibility to participate in deepening our faith and then to share that in our daily walk. Whatever our vocation is, the Lord will provide opportunities. We just have to be willing to kind of open up our mouth and to share our love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you have to believe that God will work through you. You know, I'm one of the reasons why I think people like me is because I share my vulnerabilities and I share my humanness. I'm not just some highfalutin fancy priest up there, you know, with a TV ministry. I'm just like you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like everybody. I suffer. I have doubts about, you know, life at times. And, you know, just like everybody else, I go through confusion and negativity and everything. So I need the risen life as much as anybody else. But I've realized that, you know, we are the body of Christ. You talked about community. And one of the chapters, chapter 7, I talk about risen together and how God works through the community and through the church to proclaim the gospel. And we are part of that church. You are a community. We are all part of it. We are the body of Christ, as Paul said in the scriptures. So I've realized that, you know, I'm not worthy, but God is using me. And you have to believe, and here's the point I wanted to make. Each person has to believe that, okay, maybe I'm a housewife, you know, maybe I'm angry, maybe I'm sinful, but God wants to use me too. And there's no greater joy than being used by God. God will use, as I put it in some of my books, crack pots. And, you know, when
yes.
there's a crack pot, you know, that crack actually allows the light to shine through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all are cracked. We all are crackpots. I tell that story in one of my books, but that's how the light shines through. And sometimes it's through my vulnerabilities, my sufferings, my sharing my pain, my sinful past. That's the way that I relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think, you know, we are to like shake our finger at people and beat them with the Bible. Just simply be honest, be vulnerable, share the truth, tell stories, and do it with joy, because people, more than anything else, it's joy that that touches people's lives. I remember the story of, you know, now Cardinal Dolan, when he was a bishop up in Milwaukee. He was showing a man into the seminary there, just showing him around the seminary. And there was a group of seminarians. Those are young men training to be priests. There were probably five or six of them. They were standing over there in the cafeteria, and they were laughing and having a good time. And the man said to Cardinal Dolan, he said, are those young men seminarians? And he said, yes. And the man said, well, they look really happy. And Cardinal Dolan said, that's because they are happy. To me, that's the greatest sign of evangelization is smile, show people that you're happy. People don't want more misery. They want to know what works. They want to know what brings joy. You know, you smile at people and, you know, be happy. I think it was St. Teresa of Avila that said, God deliver us from sour faced saints.
Yes.
So to me, you know, the new evangelization is exciting. And yes, we all have a responsibility, but please do it in a good way. Laugh and show people you're happy, and tell people your story, be vulnerable, you know, tell people stories. And I think that's the great way. And I share about that when I talk about Rise and Shine in my book. By the way, the book is being printed right now. Soon on my website, it will be available. You can't get it yet. But if you go to fathercedric.org, there are 16 other books. But this new book, Rise and Shine, will be available probably at the end of this month, in the beginning of July. And it's destined to be a book that's going to touch many people.
Yeah. I'm excited. Well, I'm grateful I have a little sneak peek into the book, Rise, Living the Risen Life. I want to let our local listeners know, and those of you who are listening to us right now on internet, we feature Father's weekly series, Live with Passion. It was produced as a television program, but reproduced to be able to be broadcast here on radio. So we were thrilled to hear that it was available for us. We could be able to put it on the air. So we have it on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., Sunday mornings right before the Mass at 10 a.m., and then tonight, Monday evening at 10 p.m. So three times where you can listen to Father Cedric. And then I know, Father, you've got some different audio casts and podcasts that are available online that people can listen to. And then the DVDs and CDs are available for people to purchase and get a hold of. Because I love to have those teachings. You know, you go to a parish mission and you experience a live opportunity to really hear the Word of God. But to have the audios, to have the CDs or the DVDs, I think then you can go back to those points, something that really hit you. And I think there's a powerful way that the Lord can communicate through the recorded word. You know, we're here live and people are going to listen to us right now on the internet. They're in their car right now. They're at home. We reach out to some of the prisons right here in the state of Oregon. But, you know, if they listen to this again, there is still power in that the Holy Spirit can reach a listener, somebody who's searching for the truth. Talk about that.
First of all, Dina Marie, I want to thank you because you've increased my air time. I think I started off on a Saturday morning at
4 a.m.
5:30 in the morning way back when. And you've allowed me to be on now Saturday, Sunday prime time, and now Monday, 10 p.m., which is still a prime time spot. And thank you for allowing me to proclaim the gospel through your radio station there. Thank you. I can't emphasize that enough. And then the second thing I want to say is that I believe, you know, in my own personal life, as I watch good TV programs, listen to good radio programs, and read good spiritual books, it is a prayer for me. I mean, that's one of the ways I pray. And as I'm reading a book, a good spiritual book, I'm praying. And God is speaking to me. It's wonderful. And that's how I get creative, by the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of my creativity comes from these things. You know, you can't just sit there and say, oh, you know, I want to be creative and produce a new program. You need help. You know, other people's thoughts spur your thoughts. You know, it's a catalyst for new thinking. And they broaden your horizon. So I have people that I listen to and books that I read. Right now I'm reading Father Barron's book. He's on Word on Fire. Mm-hmm. He has a book called Catholicism that came from that series, Catholicism. I'm getting all kinds of insights. You know, it's really good things. And he's a good writer, very philosophical, very intellectual, but he's good, you know, and that spurs a lot of things in me. My point is, as you were saying, not only do you remember something that was said, you know, maybe at a parish mission and hear it again, but it's very prayerful. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how God will speak to you. But you must discipline yourself and make the time to read, to listen, to watch, and to pray. And then that new, invigorating resurrection life will invade your life more powerfully.
Yeah, it's that daily food. The food for the journey is Jesus Christ, His body, His blood. He fuels us. He also gives us His word. How powerful. I don't think we can really even imagine, Father Cedric, how powerful His word truly is. When that word is being proclaimed at Holy Mass, that's power. That's real power.
You're right, Tina Marie, and it's life-giving power. There's life in the word. And one of the Father Barron's book, Catholicism, that I'm reading right now, his opening chapter talks about how the church is really incarnational, which means God becomes flesh in the community and in the church. And he talks about radio, TV, books, the Bible, community people, stained glass windows, poetry, artwork, statues, that God actually incarnates himself through these things. And this is what makes Catholicism so unique, that we believe that the incarnation occurs, or God becomes flesh in radio and in through TV and through books and through various different things that we believe as church, sacraments and different things. So as you talk about the word, I'm talking about, you know, God's expression of his love for us personally, mm-hmm. coming in the many, many different ways. And that's why I want to tell you that you are the body of Christ. All listeners, all believers are the body of Christ. And God is incarnate in you, and God will use you to touch other people. Again, I told you how. You don't force it on people, but mm-hmm. you do so in a joyful way, in a gentle way. And so, you know, this whole theme of the incarnation and how God is working in the world today, God hasn't abandoned his creation. He's working in the world through the community, through the church, through us, to save a lost world. And I praise God for using people in my life, and I thank God that he's allowing me to do what I'm doing. And also you, Dina Marie, it's mm-hmm. wonderful as a Catholic woman, what you are doing through radio and touching so many lives, and I applaud you. We need more women to step forward, like my friend Janice Carlton, leading retreats, has that fire of God within her, wants to allow God to touch people through her. So we are the church, and God is using us, and God is being incarnated through us.
Amen. Amen. Father Cedric with us from Father Cedric Ministries, a Roman Catholic ministry that is dedicated, as you're hearing right now, to reach out to as many people as possible in as a deep way as possible with life-changing gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Is there time for me just to say a quick prayer for everybody?
Please. I would love to have that. In fact, we're just coming to a close. So, final thought, and to really pray over those who are listening right now. This could be the first message that they hear of hope.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share the gospel. I hope that we'll have more times in the future. Yeah. And I wish you a happy birthday, Dina Marie. I'll be praying for you on my birthday on Wednesday. But I want to tell everybody that the resurrection of Jesus was absolutely true. I've experienced this in my own life, and Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit upon all people so that we can experience this resurrection. And I want to tell everybody right now, I want to pray for you. Maybe your attitude has been saying, well, that's too much for me, I can't do it. Or maybe you've been thinking, well, I'm afraid. Or maybe you've been just sensing that you don't have much energy in your life, or you don't have a whole lot of passion. Or maybe you've just been concentrating on your anger, your fear, or maybe in your moral life, you're caught in an addiction or a sin, your spiritual life, you've kind of let it go. It's been kind of lackadaisical. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God will breathe in you new life, resurrection, that you will encounter the Holy Spirit, that your life will be revolutionized, that you will rise in Jesus' name in every area of your life, that your life will be revolutionized, and you will come to a deeper relationship with Jesus, and you will live the risen life. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Cedric with us. God bless you, Father. The book again is Rise, Living the Risen Life. You can find out more about the book and the ministry of Father Cedric Ministries online, frcedric.org. A happy birthday to you also on June 12th. And I look forward to hearing more about what's happening for the summer. New shows to be produced very soon for Live with Passion. We'll look forward to hearing those in the months to come. And Father, just have a very blessed summer season.
Same to you, Dina Marie. Thanks again. And thanks to all the listeners for staying with us, and God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Again, great to have Father with us. And you can listen again, as I mentioned, Father Cedric, Live with Passion. The program is broadcast here on Saturday mornings at 9, on Sunday mornings at 10. And then tonight you can catch him at 10 o'clock this evening. It is Live with Passion. frcedric.org is the website. And if you live local in our area, I'm going to give you a local phone number out that you can get a hold of Father's information. Actually, it's not a local phone number, but I'm going to give you the number I have right here, 321-474-0997. You can contact me here at Catholic Radio, or just go onto the website and you can get a hold of Father's books, CDs, and more. What a blessing to come together to share the message of Jesus Christ and to use this mode of evangelization to do just that. As we come to a close today, I want to share with you these very truthful words from the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Celebrate and honor God. Be filled with joy and hope. And may the joy and hope of Jesus Christ fill your heart, and may you share that joy with others today and always. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. This is Catholic Broadcasting Northwest, KBVM, KMME, serving you online as well at kbvm.fm. Peace be with you.